Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's enjoying their Friday. Hope it's a fantastic one. I know a lot of people are leaving today for vacation, the way July 4th pretty much fell this year. It's given everybody pretty much a guaranteed four-day vacation. A lot of people are turning it to a five and leaving today, which is exciting for everybody. But we'll still be here. We're still on the phones. The website's up 24/7 as always, and we still have the show running. So that's what we do. That's what we're here, and we love to support you guys as much as possible. I hope you guys are enjoying the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. You should be getting them shortly. A lot of people have been ordering those this week. They're on Product of the Week sale, over 10% off. I talked about them yesterday on the show, and you guys have just been ordering a whole lot of them, so we're really excited to get the feedback from you guys on how you like them. So most of the ones that have been ordering, we've been getting them out the same day. We're doing the best we can to compete with the giant monopolistic corporation Amazon, and those guys ship stuff pretty fast, so we're going to make sure we ship stuff as equally as fast as well to try and stay in the same ball game. But we appreciate you guys staying with us, we appreciate your business, and we appreciate your support. First news in today, and this is kind of creepy, speaking of Amazon now, it looks like Jeff Bezos is talking about doing away with a large percentage of human employees from Amazon and replacing them with robots. The $13.7 billion deal that gave Bezos control over Whole Foods could ultimately hurt American workers substantially now. According to a company documents reviewed before the Whole Foods acquisition, Jeff Bezos is planning to automate both the Amazon and Whole Foods warehouse with a new fleet of robots. The deal will also impact workers in the UK and Canada. The supply chain consultant Britton Ladd said that with the merger, Bezos plans to build a network of automated warehouses that serve both companies. And this is what I talked about before. He wants to merge these guys together, continue merging other companies. You bet money on it, within a year or two, he'll be buying another substantial company or corporation in the United States and merging it together. They said it's hard to predict now how many human jobs will be lost with this process. Currently, Amazon employs approximately 351,000 employees, but with the Whole Foods acquisition, it seems Bezos now wants to consolidate resources, putting robots and profit, obviously, before people and their livelihood. As McDonald's announced a sweeping change to their ordering process, replacing human workers with kiosks, in-store robots are the next step toward a more automated economy. Many are concerned about Bezos' takeover of Whole Foods and it compromising the organic quality and purity of food already sold at Whole Foods. Even though a lot of food there is not non-GMO or organic, it seems as though Bezos is not even concerned about any of that. As we know, he's right in line with the CIA. So we'll have to keep an eye on this and see what happens with it. Yeah, Dad, but so we don't know what's going to happen. We've already released the documents that basically he wants to almost fully automate the Whole Foods as far as the cashier systems, the aisle systems, the way products are rung up when it scans when you go through the door. Every product you pick up and pull, it wants to scan. So it already wants to eliminate those employees right there. So if he gets the technology in and he can order it in bulk and essentially go in and completely trash all the employees that are working for Amazon and Whole Foods, it's going to be another pretty big hit to the entire economy. But it seems to be that that's what the ultimate goal is now, that is they want to automate all this stuff. And who knows what the next future is for all this, but it's definitely getting pretty weird, kind of Terminator-ish as far as with Skynet starting. You with us, Deb? I don't know what's going on. I heard him a second ago. I don't know exactly what he has as far as a connection. Also, too, now, attorney generals from Texas and nine other Republican-led states have said yesterday that they basically are wanting to sue the Trump administration over a program that grants deportation relief and access to work permits to nearly 780,000 Dreamers or undocumented immigrants brought into the country at a young age. In a letter to the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, the state urged the administration to rescind the June 2012 option that created the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program during the Obama term. This was the whole Dreamers Act, where basically if kids came in under the age of 18, which they remember, a lot of these kids don't come in with IDs, they don't come in with birth certificates or driver's license, they show up. Not all of them, but a good percentage of them are involved in type of illicit gang activity, and they basically say, well, you're underage, under the Dreamers Act, we're not going to basically deport you. You're here now, and you can be a U.S. citizen, essentially, after a certain period of time. The letter is called on the federal government to phase out this Deferred Act, the Dreamer Act, by ceasing to accept new enrollees or to renew existing applications, a decision they say would leave many young children subject to deportation, which they're trying to... The mainstream media, from what I've seen today on this, they're trying to really demonize this option. The truth about it is, why in the world is it our responsibility, no matter what age you are, to take you into our country to feed you, house you, clothe you, educate you, and fully pay for everything you have? I don't understand why that's even supposed to be an option. I understand taking care of the homeless and the poor and the veterans. We need to do that with our first United States citizens first. These kids have learned now that if they come into the United States through this Dreamers Act and they can get the ball rolling, in a lot of circumstances, and most of the time, they can get their family into the country as well later on once they start getting papers. In 2014, Obama even expanded the Dreamers Act and created a separate deportation reprieve, here we go, for parents of U.S. citizens and legal permanent residences. Just like I talked about, the expansion would shield an estimated 3.6 million people from deportation, but it never took effect because Texas and 25 states sued the Obama administration and persuaded the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to block it. The Supreme Court deadlocked on the issue, leaving a preliminary injunction in place. The states that unsuccessfully challenged the expansion court never challenged the original act, which is continued under President Donald Trump. Now, I think a lot of situations, especially like this one, I think this isn't a huge priority for Trump, but it's something, obviously, if Texas is having a huge problem with it, a lot of other states are, why is it the federal government or the state's responsibility to continue taking these kids in and paying for everything with them? They're not being deported. None of them are. They're saying that that's why they're suing the federal government. Otherwise, the complaint in the case will be amended to challenge both the program and the remaining expanded permits. So this is something that's pretty wild. I can't really say I blame Texas and a lot of these states. When you start bringing in millions of illegal aliens across the border and they say they're under 18, you basically say, okay, well, we're giving you legal residence here now. That can become an issue, especially logistically, for states to try and take in that many people and handle them as well. Also, too, there's also another article that came out now. It came out in April 2017, the Journal of Association for Consumer Research. They said, are you aware the more you depend on your cell phone, especially smartphones, the dumber you are most likely to become? And so what happens, the name of the article was Brain Drain. The mere presence of one's smartphone reduces available cognitive capacity. They said results from two experiments indicated that even when people are unsuccessful at maintaining sustained attention, as when avoiding the temptation to check their phones, the mere presence of these devices reduces available cognitive capacity. Moreover, these cognitive costs are highest for those highest in smartphone dependence. We conclude by discussing the practical implications of the smartphone-induced brain drain for consumer decision-making and consumer welfare. According to the research, smartphone owners interact with their phones on an average of 85 times a day, including immediately upon waking up and just before going to bed and even in the middle of the night. 91% report that they never leave home without their phones, and 46% say they could not live without them. That was from a Pew Research study. That's a strong statement. The above numbers and practices indicate that apparently this has become a very addictive type habit or obsessive compulsive behavior. They said under here that obsessive compulsive disorder is classified as a disorder of the brain and behavior that involves obsession and compulsions that take up a lot of time and gets in the way of important activities, personal values, social interaction with family and friends. Consequently, tech addicts have found a new and reliable friend in their smart device, which is a piece of hardware with no capacity to give off loving vibrations, energy, or caring interaction, human share, and offer to one another. So what they're saying in here is total dependence on a smartphone for making decisions affects one's ability to think and function in the world that is actually lived off screen. In my opinion, an independent observer, they said here, research journalist and one who does not own a smartphone nor was buy into controlling smart devices, I think I safely can admit from my observations there seems to be a disconnect in varying ways. And this article was basically from Health and Wellness, Catherine Frompovich. And so pretty much what they're saying here, and this has been something that's ongoing, they're calling it smartphone syndrome, which is being classified as a significant addiction, saying sometimes harder to shake than alcohol and tobacco, sometimes even more physiologically devastating, and almost akin to what would be considered a smart tech form of attention deficit syndrome. This is why are you back with us again, Dad?
I apologize, everybody. I've been having a really intermittent internet signal. I'll stay on as long as I can, but yes, I think I am back.
Okay, and so what's going on with this, and we see this all the time, and I bring it up, and the problem is this is something that nobody's really wanting to address in society right now because so many people are addicted to phones. Yes, they're convenient. Yes, they're efficient. Yes, they can make our lives much, much easier as far as work. They can make our job descriptions much more efficient and allow us to get more things done in a faster time period. No question about it. The problem is we have to start figuring out as a society how to balance our daily lives and daily activities and daily interactions with cell phone usage. That's why I tell people a lot of times it's not ever a bad idea to sometimes leave your cell phone at the house, go do stuff outside, go for a walk around the neighborhood, go to the park, go swimming, go do stuff for a couple hours on end and have no access to your cell phone. I've actually been around people before where they've left their cell phones and, you know, left them at the house and they're like obsessed the whole time. I was with Lana and a bunch of our friends a while back ago and one of Lana's friends, you know, basically didn't have her cell phone with her and she kept bringing up the phone. Oh, I wonder if anybody's called me. Oh, when I get back, I'm going to check my phone. To the point where she had so much anxiety from not having her cell phone that it was making her enjoyment during the situation very, very low. And that's a significant problem, guys, and nobody's wanting to address it. I remember a while back when I was getting ready for a bodybuilding contest, you know, glycogen's low, carbohydrate intake's very low, energy's low, mental acuity's low, especially the last couple weeks when you're depleting, and I lost my cell phone. Completely lost it. Still have never found it. And that specific cell phone. I bought a new one since then, obviously. But I lost it. And I actually didn't care. For the first day, though, it was odd. I was kind of like, man, I need my phone. I need to call somebody. I need to text somebody. Well, after about the second or third day, I actually felt much freer. It was kind of odd, but I didn't even really care about it anymore. And everybody started getting mad because they started calling my wife's phone occasionally if they wanted to get a hold of me. They're like, where's your cell phone at? You need to get a cell phone. I was like, go do something else. I don't need my cell phone. Don't bother me. And I didn't get a cell phone for like a week and a half and just didn't care, you know, until finally everybody nagged me incessantly to go buy a new cell phone, and I did. But it was quite odd because I actually felt it was a strange feeling. It was like there was no connection with electronics anymore. I just kind of just did what I wanted to do. If I was going somewhere, I just went there. I didn't have people calling me or texting me or anything like that. And so it's good to practice that sometimes, guys. I know people are all paranoid now, like, oh, I don't want to go somewhere because what if somebody needs to get a hold of me, or what if my family needs to call me when I go to the store for 5 minutes? Guys, listen, for until about 15, 20 years ago, people didn't really have cell phones with them in general. So people actually did things like go to the store without phones or went out to eat dinner at night without phones and didn't have them with them, and they managed to survive pretty effectively and efficiently. So I hate to break it to you. The world's not going to end if you don't have your cell phone with you for a couple hours. It really, really seems to me like taking a break at least once or twice a week. Even if you can't have time or energy or the work capacity to do it every day, at least once or twice a week to just kind of disconnect from the phone. Second thing is, don't park your phone by your bed. A lot of people have a tendency when they park their phone by their bed, A, that phone is putting off all types of frequency radiation all night long. It's not good for you to sleep. I already told you that. Unplug Wi-Fi. I've told you that many a times. But again, what happens a lot of times, people get so habit formed of always checking their phone, always checking their texts, always checking their emails, check, 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 check. They'll actually get to a point where when they wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, they'll check their phone. When they get up and they hear something or their baby's crying, they'll get up and check their phone. As soon as they wake up in the morning, the first thing to do is check their phone. And that's not a good place to be, because once you start getting addicted to the point where you are checking your phone every time you wake up, you're constantly forming those basically addictive properties that you always want to get that dopamine trigger every single time you wake up. Got to look at my phone. Got to see who texted me. Got to see who called me. Got to see on social media. Not a good place to be. Charge your phone in the other room. If somebody's got to get a hold of you in the middle of the night, have a landline that you use. Hook up your house if you're paranoid about that. But don't charge your phone by your bed. It's not healthy with a cell phone signal that sits there, and it's not good to have that access. Also, too, try to refrain from using your cell phone at least 15 minutes before you lay down for bed. I did a research study. I brought this up about 6 months ago. They said that the light, the blue light that these iPhones emit, which is super bright, I always turn mine down about 70-80%. It's too bright. That's the same thing. It hurts your eyes after a while. When you look at that light, because it's so bright, it massively stimulates the body. It basically helps to stimulate the adrenals and massively tightens up the pupils. It makes the body think it's in bright, bright sunlight, like you just got up, you walked outside, and just stared at the sun. That's what it tricks your body into thinking. Well, the problem is doing that at 11 p.m. at night, right before you lay down, it's very counterproductive to getting into REM sleep and getting melatonin produced. If you walk outside in the afternoon or in the morning and you stare at the sun, the last thing your pineal gland is planning on doing is producing melatonin. It's just not going to happen. It has no need to. It's counterproductive. So stay off the phone. I say longer than 15 minutes, but a lot of times if people are doing work, like I said, people are so addicted to them, it's hard to do that. But stay off of them. Put it away. Put it in the other room. Charge it. Then get ready for bed. Make your fit food shake. Take your vitamins. That's what I do. You know, go brush your teeth. Get ready. And then lay down and go to bed. But stay off of it at night. Stay off of it in the morning. And don't charge it by your bed. But those are just some tips I wanted to bring up, Dad, because this is becoming a very significant problem to the point where a lot of people are becoming severely addicted, more addicted than a lot of drug and alcohol research is starting to show now just from iPhone usage.
Well, let me give you my mom was a cigarette smoker. She smoked 4 to 5 packs of cigarettes a day. Now, by the grace of God, she knew smoking was bad when she was pregnant with my sister and I. She didn't smoke supposedly when she was pregnant with us, but I don't know because I wasn't really mentally acute. But she said she didn't. Now she's gone now, and she rests in peace. Now, what's interesting about that, she was always fidgeting with her hands, and she was always lighting cigarettes, holding cigarettes, and you know, puffing on cigarettes, and flicking the ashes off the cigarettes. And she developed this behavioral pattern of constantly having to do something with her nervous energy or with her hands. And that does, that gives you again, dopamine trigger that you were talking about, and it sets up the synaptic pathway in your brain that you always want to stay busy with your fingers or with your hands or, with your lips or whatever you're doing with the cigarettes or with the chip you're putting in your mouth. And you set up all of these reinforcement continuum triggers. It constantly rebuilds that continuum in your brain. So over and over and over and over and over again, you're reinforcing it every single time you pick up a cell phone. Because remember, now you're messing with your hands, you're messing with your mind, you're messing with your ears, you get audio messages, and you're constantly getting trigger, 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 trigger. And so we're a very addictive species is what we are. We get addicted to all kinds of stuff. It's easy for us to get addicted because our brains are so powerful because God made us in His image. So what ends up happening is, it's when we focus on stuff and we start getting absorbed into stuff, it ends up in a situation where we try constantly to re-trigger those same pathways. That's why you're constantly checking your telephones. I mean, up here in the mountains, 3/4 of the time, we don't even have cell phone service. I really don't care. I don't care. Now, it's easier to prep for the show, so I have to go to an area that has a cell phone. And hence, just now, I had a problem getting online because of the Wi-Fi connection. But guys, just learn how to moderate this stuff and stay away from it as much as possibly can. By the way, Edward Griffin just put an article out. This is pretty good. And it's basically a YouTube channel teaching children ages 3 to 7 how to be gay. Now, this is some crazy. Now, this is. I'm going to talk about this for a second because this is.
I know. Well, I want you to talk about it because I saw the link. Excuse me for interjecting real quick, but you sent me the link and I watched part of the video. About threw up in my mouth right before the show started. So I definitely want you to touch base on this because if you don't, I was.
Well, I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to give out the website. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to promote these guys. I'm not going to promote these weirdos who are doing the show. But it's a YouTube channel that basically is it's helping these guys learn how to convert to be queer is what they call it. And so, you know, transgender, homosexuality preferences, all of the stuff. Pride Month is doing all of this, teaching kids how to dress and drag. Now I'm talking 3-year-old children. And it says basically young people need to see themselves represented in their media, and that's exactly what they aim to do. And so this is some sick stuff, but what it's been doing, having this stuff available to people for all of these years has really changed the Christian mentality towards homosexuals and gays. And now a lot of younger Christians are actually favoring same-sex marriage because of this filth they're seeing on their iPhones and their iPads and on TV. This is another article. It says support for same-sex marriage is at an all-time high, even among white evangelicals, and is due to a generational shift. According to a new study from the Pew Research Center, their polls show that 47% of Generation X, these are the millennial evangelicals, those who were born after 1986, 1964, favor gay marriage, compared with 26% of baby boomers and older evangelicals, more between 1928 and 1964. It says the shift is inevitable. It's just a matter of how long. Julie Rogers, a lesbian who works up there for Wheaton College, told the Washington Post. The thing that they're doing here, and they've done exactly the way they planned. They've shifted it over a period of decades because they started bringing this stuff into our consciousness back in the 60s with Hugh Hefner, with Playboy, with Penthouse, and lesbian interactions, etc., in the different magazines. And so a lot of guys started looking at this stuff and girls started looking at this stuff, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. And what ends up happening is you start to have a gradual transition of what the accepted norms are in a society. This is what's happening to everybody. Now we're having these YouTube channels completely devoted to this. And of course we have different people who are on these TV shows who basically allow these children to watch these unfettered TV access shows in which they teach these kids this is okay. And if you think many times that the gay channels on your cable TV network are right beside the kids channel, if that's an accident, that is not an accident. That's not an accident at all. You go, you know, channel 161 is basically the gay network, 162 is the cartoon network, right? So they flip it on, they start seeing stuff, they start flipping around. Suddenly you look, wow, this is crazy. I cannot believe this gay thing's right next to my children. In fact, they did it down here with Bright House years ago. I called up and I raised HE double sticks with these guys. I mean, I pitched a fit on the phone and said, look, guys, I'm going to pull stuff out. I mean, I pitched a fit. Apparently, about a bunch of other people to do, and they changed it. They took the gay and lesbian stuff off from the right next to the children's programming. Guys, this is a psyop being done to the population of our country, to our children, to our young children, using the cell phones, using the iPhones, using all of that stuff, making them think this type of behavioral stuff is chaos. What do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I only got through about a minute of that video, and I was shocked. I mean, I was absolutely appalled. And, I mean, they had this guy, there's a drag queen on there, full drag, and he's sitting there glamorizing, talking about basically how awesome drag queens are and what they do. And remember, guys, this show is geared like 3 to 6-year-olds. It looks like something on Sesame Street. Honest, that's how it's played out. And so it's sitting there glamorizing drag queens and what they do, and it was nauseating, honestly. But Dad's exactly right. They're gearing this younger generation now to not just be acceptant of this and be like, okay, whatever, you want to do that. This generation's already done that. What they're doing is they're confusing, intentionally confusing this entire generation coming up right now to the point they want all of them to have this bisexual, transgender, gay, whatever aspect you want of it, to where there is no he or she, there is no male or female, there is no alpha anymore. There's just this mixture collage of all this different weirdness in each person, and it's okay, whatever makes you happy, whatever you want to do, if you want to do this, if you want to do that, if you want to be a girl, you can be a girl, if you want to be a guy, be a guy, if you want to switch back and forth every week, it doesn't matter, do what you want. That's what they're trying to do, to completely dissolve the morals and the ethics and the biblical biblical values that have held through in this country, and that's one of the last ways to do it. I told you guys what I'd canceled with Netflix a couple months ago, and I back charged the last 3 months of subscriptions I had with them. They did the exact same thing. They had the little blocks, the little bars that come up with different movie genres. There's action, adventure, comedy, and like four of them down was gay movies. Like, I mean, like gay and lesbian films. And I call them up and I said, why do you guys have gay and lesbian films like fourth from the top? I said, then I go down to comedies below it and then children's films are below that. I said, I've never clicked a gay movie. Oh, that's just one that we have on there. And I said, well, delete it. I want it off. Block it. I don't want it on there anymore. Oh, we can't do that. I said, you can't do it. I said, I'm paying you. How about that? I'm paying you for your subscription. I'm paying you. Block it. I'm telling you to block it. Oh, no, we can't do that. You have to go in and you have to basically pull it off there so it won't show up unless you scroll all the way down and it'll basically push you down to the bottom. I don't want to do that. I said, block it. I said, I don't even want to see it. I don't want to ever even know it's there. Well, you can't do that. You can only go in and get, you know, kind of filter it yourself, but it'll still pop up eventually. And I said, how about this? You can't block it. I can't pay you anymore. Back charge the last 3 months. Cancel my subscription. I'm done with Netflix. You guys can go kick rocks. I'm not supporting you anymore. You guys won't do exactly what I ask, and I'm paying you. I don't have to give you my money anymore. How about that? That was the end of it. Don't have Netflix. Haven't had it for a while. Don't really care. Have not lost a bit of sleep. Actually watch less TV than I already watched a little before. So my life's even better now. Thanks to Netflix. So that's exactly what is going on right now. They're intentionally trying to promote the stuff his dad just said. Not coincidence that they're putting this stuff on the channels right beside the kids' movies, right beside the animated films. Not at all. There's no coincidence at all with it. It's intentional. They've already got this millennial generation and Generation X completely accepted to the gay, homosexual, transgender, weirdo lifestyle that has gotten so blatant now. And like I said the other day on the show, it's funny how they can walk around and have their gay pride parades. They can run around with their I'm gay t-shirt, gay pride t-shirts everywhere. If I start walking around with a straight pride t-shirt, I'm proud to be a straight heterosexual male, they'll flip out, start calling me a neo-Nazi homophobe, probably start throwing water balloons at me, whatever gay stuff they like to do. That's what they do. It's completely and totally... It's so hypocritical. That's what drives me so nuts about it. They don't just want to engage in their lifestyle and be weird. They want to go and sit there and be forcibly trying to force it down your throat and say, you have to accept this and you have to like it and you have to promote us and you have to make sure that you enjoy it while we do it. That's not going to happen in my book. I'm not going to sit here and I'm especially not going to pay for Netflix to show me that type of film. And like I said, straight pride. I'm proud to be a heterosexual male. There you go.
We're kind of a, like I told you, my 14-year-old daughter said the other day, she said, Dad, I really don't see very many alpha males anymore. Now that we've been up here in the wilds of the North Carolina mountains, North Georgia mountains, she's been running all kinds of young boys that are alpha males because they got away from these big city boys. Yeah, it's funny. Like this morning I was, it's a funny story. I'm at the coffee shop, not having coffee. I had to meet with a guy up here and I had to hook up to the internet here and I basically had to stop for a minute and check stuff on the emails. And it was funny because I started talking to a guy. And he lives up here 6 months in Florida, 6 months up here, and he starts talking about how much he loves it up here. Well, his last name was Jewish, and so he gave me his name. I got his contact information, and I said, oh, you're Jewish. And he goes, don't tell anybody, be quiet. And I said, what do you mean be quiet? I said, it's okay to be Jewish. He goes, no, man, still have the Klan up here. They hate Jews and blacks. And I started laughing. And I said, no, they don't. I said, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is like 2017. I said, you should be proud of your Jewish heritage. It's no big deal if you're Jewish. He was absent. And then I said something else to him again. I said, well, I've got a good friend of mine who's a Jewish pilot. He goes, stop saying that. Stop saying that I'm Jewish. Nobody around here knows that I'm Jewish. I don't want anybody to know that. And I started laughing, Austin, because, you know, it's the communist program, which are primarily these really radical,
you know, Bolshevik, most of them are Jewish, that pushed this country to this point of this breaking point. This is what we are right now. I mean, the entire Democratic Party has turned communist. Even Vladimir Putin says that. I mean, you know, Bernie Sanders was open about being that. And what's crazy about it is these are the guys who pushed us to this level. They're the ones who basically overthrew the Russian Tsar back in 1917. These are the guys that forced this Russian Revolution. And the craziest thing about all of this stuff, guys, is that we don't even understand that these are the same folks that have destroyed our country morally, as far as with Hollywood, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not picking on just the Jews now, because, of course, we got Rockefellers involved and everybody else. But the craziest thing is this. This guy had enough of it down there in South Florida. He came up because he wanted Mayberry back. Guys, listen to me. This is very important. We all want Mayberry back, and we got a stitch of sense. We don't want to be in a crime-infested mess anymore. But this is not okay for anybody. So, guys, listen to me. Go and find a way to get your life calmed back down, like Austin said, and just stay away from the cell phones and all of this stuff. And if you live in a high crime area, guys, maybe, just maybe, it's time to do something else and go somewhere else. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting article that I saw, and it's a, I haven't vetted it, but it's basically for medical science and health technology, and it's by a guy named Dimitri. And it says that women absorb and retain DNA from the sperm from every single man they have ever had sex with. This is an interesting article. Now, I don't know who did the research on this. It goes into the details here. And it's called microchimerism, in the presence of a small number of cells that originate from another individual and are therefore genetically distinct from the cells of the host individuals. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because this is kind of a technical thing to talk about, is that according to a study that was done, 63% of the females ages 37 to 59, I'm sorry, 37 out of 59 subjects tested harbored male microchimerism in the brain, and it was present in multiple brain regions. Now, the reason I say this and I talk about this is this reason. You know, as Christians, we talk about when you have sex with somebody else, you develop a soul tie with them and you become connected to them. Now we're starting to see how this DNA, this sperm, actually can go into the woman and actually alter her DNA and become part of her through epigenetics. We're seeing that. And this is something that I always tell my young children, and I've always told other kids. Guys, it's not okay to be going out and having premarital intercourse with a bunch of different people or anybody until you get married, simply because there's all kinds of things as far as procreation that we simply do not, and I repeat this, do not understand. We don't understand how that affects us. So it's very important, kids, that you listen to me right now. If you're listening, if you're a Christian and you're a child and you're a kid, that you understand that when you start having sex with guys or with girls and all the things that happens, it affects you from an emotion, from a spiritual standpoint. Because remember, our DNA is basically a step-up Tesla transmitter coil. That's what it is. It's a coiled helix. And it connects us with the universe and with God. And when we have other people's DNA inside of us, it has a tendency, apparently, to stay in there and not to leave us. Isn't that a crazy article?
Yeah, that is pretty bizarre. I'm definitely, now that that's come out, I'm sure they'll start doing a little bit more research and detail into that. That's definitely pretty crazy. But also too, in other news now, as far as what's going on over in Europe, Italy now is basically begging the EU for help after 12,000 more migrants arrived to Italy in 4 days. They're struggling with a massive amount of migrants that have turned to the Calais campground. On top of that, another 12,000 have arrived in the last 4 days. France finally demolished the jungle that came about to be known as the jungle. And what's going on is now it's basically been pulled back up again, and the refugees are moving back into it, and now it's being called the new jungle. They said the camps push in eventually around 1,600 individuals again. And according to the France Interior Minister, Gerald Colombe, he basically says, we've seen this before, and it starts with a few hundred and ends up with several thousand people that we can't manage. That's why we don't want a center here. They go on to say now that basically the living conditions are not what they need to be, but on top of that, they cannot handle the influx of people and the distribution of food and controlling the crime. Now they've had another 12,000 in 4 days, and it looks like they're coming in all through the water passageway now from northern Africa, and they're basically putting together these giant boat rafts and just sailing across now. I mean, 12,000 people in 4 days, especially Italy. Italy's not that big. That's a substantial amount of people coming in that are contributing nothing. That's the issue that a lot of people don't understand about this. These pro-migrant, invasive, whatever, protesters. That's a large, large percentage, not all of them, but a large, large percentage of all these people that are flocking into the country are coming there for one reason, to get as much free stuff and to be taken care of by the government as long as physically possible. You don't have educated doctors, teachers, nurses, welders, plumbers, all these guys coming into the country. They're saying, well, we want to come to the country and kind of benefit the, you know, what you guys have here. You have a lot of good job positions. We really want to fulfill those. So we're going to start bringing in a large percentage of our population to kind of help you guys out. That's not what's going on here. You have people that a lot of times, A, don't speak language. They don't speak Italian at all. They don't understand any types of customs, nor do they respect customs from any other culture. They have no significant job description that they can produce in a industrial society, and they're coming into the country to get free food, free housing, free welfare, as long as they can physically get it. And the Italian people can't handle this. They can, no country can. You can only do this for so long. This has happened repeatedly in history when you start having basically the hordes coming in of migrants from other countries that produce nothing and bring nothing and contribute nothing. It always ends up making that empire fall eventually. There's no way around it. And it seems to be now that they've let these guys come in and they've opened up the doors, and now the EU is basically demanding that the EU states take in quotas and take in more and more and more of these migrants, that it's becoming a significant problem and it's not getting better. So I talked about yesterday, Czech Republic and Poland and Hungary said enough. We're not taking it anymore. We're putting up electric double-sided two-way gate. If you come through here, we're basically poaching you and deporting you back immediately. We've had enough of it. And it's sad that it's come to that, Dad, but it leaves these countries no other choice when you start having 12,000 Muslim migrants like this flood into the country in 4 days. That's very, very difficult to handle from a logistics standpoint.
Cultural degradation is what it causes.
Yeah.
Because you basically are diluting your own culture and you're degrading it, and you're basically losing what made you Italian or made you German. This is Angela Merkel. This is the one who's done this. Angela Merkel has basically sold her soul to Lucifer, so to speak. Well, probably not even so to speak, probably for real. She's actually gone in now, and she's completely entrenched herself into the globalist agenda for the one world government. And they've got to bring the Muslims in so they can have the war with the Muslims. They had ripped the Muslims out of Europe before in the 1400s. In 1492 is when the stronghold Alhambra fell there in Spain. And so this is what is going back to again. We're finally getting into a situation where they're going to bring them in by the millions and millions and millions, which they've done thanks to Angela Merkel, who Dave Hodges is convinced is Hitler's daughter. If not, she may be. She may be. And the whole thing about this is that it's getting worse and worse and worse over there because of the cultural degradation. By the way, there's a potentially lethal parasite, rat lungworm, now is being found in Florida. The reason I mention this to you is this thing basically can get inside of a human being and cause all kinds of problems. You think, well, it's primarily from snails, and snails eating rat feces. You think, well, I'm not going to eat, you know, snails, and I'm not going to eat rat feces, so it's not really going to be a problem. Well, the problem is this. The snails ingest rat lungworm larvae by eating infected rat feces. When a rat eats an infected snail, the larva penetrates the rat's intestine and enters the circulatory system, which then transports to the brain. Humans can ingest the parasite by consuming infected snails or infected frogs and crustaceans, which can also pick up the nematode. You say, well, what in the world? That's not going to happen to me. Well, you have to wash your produce. I cannot tell you how many times we've gotten produce, organic produce in particular, from Florida that has had snails on it.
over and over and over and over and over again. We scrub our produce before we eat it, especially the lettuce. And it says basically you have to wash your produce. Some snails are very small, can easily hide in lettuce leaves. Teach children eat everything not to eat snails. And if they handle snails, make sure they wash their hands and be aware of the potential risks associated with eating snails and also raw or undercooked frogs and crustaceans. You know, I don't know why anybody wants to eat a frog. I don't really get that, but I'm here they're pretty good, but I don't really want one. I'm sure they taste like chicken, like everything else. But the crustaceans, they were all, that was pretty good. I always enjoyed eating the lobster before I went kosher on all that diet. I don't do shellfish or basically any of that stuff anymore, pork. And I follow the biblical, I wouldn't even call it kosher. The Bible doesn't call it kosher. I follow the Levitical and Deuteronomy guidelines as far as not eating the unclean meats. That's very, very important, guys, that we remember that. Because, guys, it's unbelievable how toxic this stuff gets if you put it in your system on a continual basis. Even once or twice can be bad. And again, here's why I don't eat pork. The Bible says not to, number one. And number two, people say, well, if you eat pork, you make sure you cook it really well done, so that way you'll have a piece of meat that doesn't have any parasites in it. No, what you end up with is a piece of meat that has really well done cooked parasites if you actually kill them, which is very difficult to do with cooking. So you're just eating cooked parasites, worms. You're eating cooked worms when you eat pork. So why in the world do you want to eat cooked worms? I mean, to me, that just sounds unbelievably nasty. I have no interest in doing that, Austin. What do you think about that?
Yes, eating dead worms is pretty disgusting. That's what I was talking to somebody the other day, and you know, a lot of times shrimp and stuff, it's, you're not going to have a lot of issues with that type of seafood getting worms. But I said they were eating it, and they said, do you want one? I said, no, man. I said, you know, I don't eat crustaceans. They're arthropods. And he kind of looked at me, and he's like, what do you mean? I said, it's an arthropod, man. I said, it's a scavenger. I said, it's the same category as lobsters, shrimp. I mean, it's an arthropod. I said, it's a bottom feeder. I said, it's a filter. I said, it's like taking a big water filter that you run on your sink and cracking it open and sprinkling it on your food before you eat it for taste. Basically what you're eating, dude. I said, it's a filter. That's what they do. They filter all the crap, literally the crap, on the bottom of the ocean. I said, so you're more welcome to eat them. I said, I don't care. I'm not going to frown upon you if you eat them. I said, but I'm not going to eat them. And they kind of looked at me like, man, I don't think I can look at shrimp like that any other way again. That's kind of disgusting. I never thought about it like that before. I said, well, it's just kind of logic, bro. I said, that's what it does. It's a crustacean. It's an arthropod. He goes, wow, that's really disgusting. I said, well, yeah, basically when you're eating shrimp, you're eating lobster, you're eating all the crap that was in the ocean. That's what they feed on. I mean, that's what they clean majority of the time. So, yeah, well, same thing with hogs.
Even something like an oyster, which isn't an arthropod, but arthropod is like a cockroach or like a lobster, but even like an oyster, it filters up to 50 gallons of seawater a day. And all that poison from the seawater, the lead, the arsenic, the mercury, all of that stuff goes into that oyster and accumulates because it really doesn't have an excretory system. And so what ends up happening, you basically have these high levels of all these toxins that go into your body, into your blood, through your digestive tract because you're eating this stuff. Oh, by the way, scientists are now saying that they've made an AI that can read people's minds. This is an article from Ray, and it says whether it's using an AI to help organize a Lego collection or relying on an algorithm to protect our cities, deep learning neural networks seemingly become more impressive and complex each day. Now, however, some scientists are pushing the capabilities of these algorithms to a whole new level, and they're trying to use them to read minds. By reverse engineering signals sent to the brain, Carnegie Mellon University have been working on an AI that can read complex thoughts by simply looking at brain scans, which they can scan your brain now and know what you're thinking. Using data collected from functional magnetic resonating machines, the CMU scientists feed the data to their machine's learning algorithm, which then locate the building blocks that the brain uses to create complex thoughts. Impressively, the study showed that the team were able to demonstrate where and how the brain was being triggered while processing 240 complex events. Selecting 239 of these complex sentences and feeding AI the corresponding brain scans, the algorithm managed to successfully predict the correct thoughts of the individual with 87% accuracy, Austin. This is where it's going. This is what they're going to do. Superpowered AIs, D-Wave computers, all of it. They want to go in and control you through your thoughts and adjust you through frequency. That's what they're planning on doing. You heard it from us. I've been telling you that for years, guys. What do you think, son?
That's exactly what they're doing. That's why all this stuff's getting automated. We keep telling everybody, and that's why they're trying to do the autonomous cars, and they're trying to do, now I talked about on the show the other day, you weren't on it, Dad, it was when you were gone, how they're releasing all of the autonomous patrol robot cars in Dubai now. They're actually police cars, and there's not even cops in them. They're patrol vehicles that drive around with 360 cameras on them, and they have full biometric face recognition software, and they scan everybody. Everything around them, they scan 24/7, just drive around. Even have a drone that it can deploy from the back of this little car. It's like half the size of a smart car. And they deployed them now in Dubai. They're already over there now. And that's what they're doing. Is everything's starting to switch over to this AI. Like I said before, jokingly, but it's kind of serious. It reminds me a lot of Skynet from the old Terminator movie, where this where it's kind of escalating, where we're making this AI to be so powerful, so knowing that it pretty much can do anything and everything it wants. It's kind of creepy. But also, too, in other news, seven Planned Parenthood facilities now, six of which conducted abortions, are set to permanently close today now in three states. Planned Parenthood officials noted that the closure was primary in an attempt to remain solvent and fears that Medicare reimbursements would be halted by Congress. Now, what's wild about this is that this is a good thing for women and their babies, because, you know, we saw the propaganda piece that they put out a couple months ago trying to say, oh, if Planned Parenthood's closed down, women aren't going to be able to get access to their health care and this and that, which I debunked all that and brought it all to the light. It's a complete and total lie. The truth is Planned Parenthood gets almost $1 billion a year in federal funding, even though basically they still get tons of money from all types of other outlets. But they basically, many Planned Parenthood facilities survive only because of this. And there's many other reputable providers of legitimate health care for women out there. What most people don't realize is that Planned Parenthood is the nation's largest aborter throughout the U.S., hands down. Almost one in three U.S. abortions are committed at Planned Parenthood. And a number of abortions of Planned Parenthood has increased almost 50% since 2002. They also said in a year, pregnant women going to Planned Parenthood were more than 25 times more likely to abort their child than receive an adoption referral or prenatal care. And I went about this in detail. So I thought that was pretty wild today that they basically have shut seven of them down, which is not a bad thing in my position at all, especially after we saw what they're doing, how after they get the aborted fetal parts, they sell them, as we saw in those undercover videos, which is disgusting. But yeah, that's what's going on with it now. So I'm actually interested to see how this goes on. I really hope we stop giving them any money at all. They don't deserve a penny from us. They make plenty of money with their deviant behavior, all kinds of other things, without taking it from taxpayers, Dad.
You're absolutely right, Austin. Anytime you save a baby, save a baby, as far as I'm concerned. And guys, listen to me. If you've got friends who want to do this, who want to abort their babies, just tell them. Just, there's so many people waiting for adoption right now because the people have become so infertile in the United States. Don't do that. That baby will find a really good home. Just make sure you go through a reputable agent. By the way, Mad Maxine Waters, who is going to qualify for Mensa next week, which is the International Society of Geniuses. She's a congresswoman. She says basically that $700 billion Americans will lose health care if Obamacare is repealed. And in plains that Republicans really don't know what they're talking about. Number one, we have 300 million people in the United States, not 700 billion.
Yeah.
There's like 700 billion on the planet. I mean, so this lady is just absolutely just Looney Tunes and doesn't have a brain. I'm going to stop right there. By the way, aspartame and MSG banned from the Italian restaurants now. Italy is actually stopping, in some cases now, the importation of aspartame and MSG in cooking and in the Italian restaurants. This is an interesting article. It's by Dr. Betty Hum. It says, Italy is considered the healthiest country in the world, and aspartame has been banned from Italian restaurants, illegal even to bring it in. A friend, Benedetta Cassini, once told her that staying in Italy, if you want to get embalmed, go to America. Okay. However, today in Italy, they have aspartame in food and drugs, and here's the warning to restaurants. And now, so they're basically realizing that they want to keep these multiple carcinogens out of the population, and what they do and how they create all of these brain tumors and brain cancer. So guys, say that, hope the Italians can continue to do this, because I love Italy. It's a great place to visit, and they got some of the best food in the country, but guys, in the world, but guys,
We got to pray for those guys over there because, like Austin said at the beginning of the show, they're under siege right now, literally under siege. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, it's significant. It's a serious problem that's going on. Like I said, it's a media blackout in the United States. I mean, when's the last time you saw CNN showing tens of thousands of migrants flooding into Italy or for any country of that matter? They haven't talked about it. Haven't at all. They touched base a little bit on it in 2015 when it exploded. That was it. That was it. They're not bringing it up at all. They're especially not talking about what's going on in Sweden, how there's literally turning into whole cities now that are no-go zones. The police departments don't even have a police department in. They're all shut down because they can't handle it because the violent crime has gotten so bad, so aggressive. Nobody can control these guys because some of them act like animals. It's really sad. In the UK now, new research just came out now from the Organization for Economic Cooperation Development showing nearly one-tenth of the population living in the United Kingdom now are foreign citizens, and that's they're saying now just in the past 10 years that number has doubled, and a portion of the people in the UK that are basically celebrating migrants for there. They said there was a record 5.9 million foreign citizens living in the UK now in 2016, the latest year for which figures are available. Immigrant figures have risen significantly in recent years. According to the research, it was just 5.6 million at the end of 2015 and has nearly doubled the 2004 figure where there were just barely 5% of British residences were foreign citizens. Now, there's nothing wrong with having foreign citizens come into a country at all, but what you have here, and they're not even saying this in the article, is that I can guarantee you a huge percentage of these numbers that are showing up in here are from the Middle Eastern areas and not from other countries. They're not going to see a whole lot of classifying people that were born in Germany or Poland as foreign born in the UK blowing up the numbers that significantly. The only way you can make numbers spike that high that fast is bringing them in from other countries that essentially don't want to take them in anymore. And that's exactly what we've seen in the UK on a regular basis now, and the great folks over there don't even have the ability to defend themselves with deadly force, which drives me up the wall, especially with the type of people that they're importing into that country every year now, Dad.
You're absolutely right. By the way, this article, this whole thing that was released last week about coconut oil being bad for you, it's getting traction in the mainstream press now, and I'm so aggravated about it because it's simply not true. Coconut oil is actually very, very good for you. The medium chain triglycerides from coconut oil, one of the best things you can take as a supplement. I put it in my shake every day because coconut oil will actually raise the total and the HDL cholesterol. That's the good cholesterol. Coconut oil lowers triglycerides and central abdominal fat, both independent risk factors for cardiovascular disease. Coconut oil reduces insulin resistance, another independent cardiovascular risk factor, and countries with the highest dietary intake of coconut oil among those with the lowest incident of cardiovascular disease. And cardiovascular risk rises when refined oils, especially like safflower and corn oil and soy oil, are used, specifically those recommended by the AHA. Introduce the populations, guys. This stuff is bad. You can't be believing this stuff online. There is nothing wrong with coconut oil. I use it on a regular basis. It's great products. There you go, Austin.
So,
what's your next
stuff? So do I. Oh, so do I. And Hunter eats it all the time, and his sweet potatoes, I use it too. I mean, that's a super clean meal that I eat on a regular basis, about 5 ounces of grilled chicken with about a cup of green beans and about a tablespoon of coconut oil. Super zone, super clean meal. And see, what they're doing is, you guys have to understand, the ultimate goal of the medical establishment is to increase profits. And to increase profits, in order to do that, they have to keep the pharmaceuticals continuing to prescribe drugs. It's a big circle. So when you look at the math, the primary goal of the AHA is to bring more people into the hospital. To do that, you have to have more people sick. They have more people sick. Once that happens, the more people go on prescriptions and they stay sicker. If you want people to stay sick, keep them using hydrogenated corn oil or GMO soybean oil and crap like that on a regular basis. That way you have an excuse to prescribe people more statins, which is the number one prescribed prescription drug in the United States now. this stuff doesn't take rocket science to put together. When you start having organic extra virgin coconut oil, this is one of the best oils you can use on the market. There's been a plethora of research done on it, talking about how incredibly healthy it is from every aspect of your body. And then these yahoos come in and drop on the mainstream. See, and that's what drives me nuts about it, is they're not talking about literally the hundreds of other studies that talk about it helping to stop or reverse Alzheimer's disease, how it protects the cardiac muscle, how it basically helps to increase the metabolism, how it really helps with memory. None of those studies are being brought up in very clear research studies. All they're wanting to do is say, well, the American Heart Association said coconut oil is bad for you because it's a saturated fat, so if you eat it, it's basically going to give you a heart attack. You need to stick with corn oil and soybean oil. That's what they said. That's what we're going to regurgitate. That's all it is, guys. Do your research on it. Do the math on it. Figure out exactly what's going on. But I'm just going to eat coconut oil, and I know Dad will too. This stuff's great.
I use it every day. Hey guys, I want to thank you. Hope you have a great weekend. Also, you'll need to write the summary up for us again.
Got it.
I love you guys. Sorry about the mess up on the trying to get hooked up this afternoon with this little town. This little town. I feel like I'm amazed. I expect Barney to come walking up and Andy in a second. So I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for just praying for us. Thanks for being part of our family. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the emails. Thanks for the referrals that you send to have other people listen to the show. And guys, we're going to keep this show upbeat as best we can. We're going to try to keep you as much information as we possibly can. A lot of times I don't cover a lot of the same news some of the alternative talk show covers, other talk show hosts cover, or because I don't really think it's relevant. Because it's, to me, a lot of the stuff that they do and a lot of the news, a lot of these guys and girls both cover, to me, is just more obfuscation. What we're doing is we're continuing to promote the mainstream lie media. That's why I wouldn't give you the information on those websites at the beginning of the show, because I'm not going to promote that stuff. I'm going to give you really good stuff, really hopefully some entertaining stuff, really nutrition stuff, and some real stuff that you can use and be practical for you and your families. Guys, I love you. I appreciate it. Again, thank you for your support. Austin, go ahead and close the show, bud.
Absolutely, bud. And, yeah, we appreciate all the support, guys, all the emails, all the phone calls, and we appreciate it all. We appreciate the support. And you guys be safe this weekend. July 4th, like I said, it's going to be a long weekend. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of people traveling, a lot of people driving. So use wisdom, use discernment. And also, too, if you're playing around with fireworks, which there's nothing wrong with that, I love fireworks, make sure you're using caution with them. Don't be sticking your head over mortar cannons if the fuse doesn't go off and stupid stuff like that. Watch your fuses, make sure they're not too short, make sure they don't burn too quick. Just a couple tips. I've seen a lot of people get hurt with really, really large mortars and fireworks before because people are just being sloppy. And there's a reason to do that. Some of that stuff can cause some serious damage. So have fun with them, but make sure you're using caution when you do so. Those guys, we appreciate all the support. Check out the website at healthmasters.com. The product of the week, as I talked about already, is the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. You guys have been ordering a bunch of that. It's great stuff. Give me some feedback on it. You guys have a blessed, safe weekend. Have an awesome time, and we'll talk to you again Monday.